Thanks, Cheryl. Hey, everybody. Good to see you. Live from the retreat house. Did I say Cheryl?
She did.
Neither one of y'all appreciated that. I apologize.
Don't be offended, Don.
Don't be offended, Cheryl says. Isn't that funny? Wow. I mean, hey, Don. Hey, Shauna. Hey, Rayla. That's all I can see right now. I know Jay's here. I saw him type something a minute ago. Hey, y'all. So, anywho, yeah, it was funny. Weird. I'm going to start with a song. Imagine that. I usually do. So let me figure out how to share. Oh, and Ann's here. Hey, Ann. Sorry we missed your teaching. We were working. Let's see. Share.
Oh, like
that's a teaching table.
I was shocked.
All right, I see folks now. Hey, Ann, looking all springy, summery, nice.
Yeah, it's summer.
Yeah, but it looks very light, very spring.
Yeah, I had the same feeling about what she
was
wearing. That looks good.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Opening song.
This is how you make yourself vanish into nothing. And this is how you make yourself worthy of the love that she gave to you back when you didn't own a beautiful thing. And this is how you make yourself call your mother. And this is how you make yourself closer to your brother. Remember him back when he was small enough to help you sing. You thought God was an architect. Now you know he's something like a pipe bomb ready to blow. And everything you built, it's all for show, goes up in flames. In 24 frames. This is how you see yourself floating on the ceiling. And this is how you help her when her heart stops beating. What happened to the party? You didn't notice every change in wind. And this is how you talk to her when no one else is listening. And this is how you help her when the muse goes missing. You vanish so she can go drowning in a dream again. You thought God was an architect. Now you know it's something like a pipe bomb ready to blow. And everything you built is all for show goes up in flame. In 24 frames.
Is Jason Isbell. That's a song that Amazon Music chose to play for me when I tuned into one of their, I don't know, whatever, type stations. But I love it. It's a great song. Dawn says the same vibe as Dust in the Wind. Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely agree with that. And it really, what was running through my mind as we just listened to it was this, that joke. It's like, I don't know if it's a joke, but how do you make God laugh? You tell him your plans. Right? And it's really, you know, what Regina was talking about a moment ago, you know, it's just that perspective. You know, you thought God was an architect. Turns out it's a pipe bomb. God's a pipe bomb ready to blow. I mean, you know, and that's certainly how we approach this. It's like, you know, how we have approached life. It's like, how's God going to make everything work out for me? And at some point you get that it's just, well, first of all, it's a mistake to personify the Tao. Which is what, you know, what we've done. It's the culture we've grown up in. God is a, you know, guy with a white beard and in the clouds with a clipboard and taking notes. When we head out on the spiritual path, we're still trying to figure out, how's this going to work out for me? It's still, even when we say, oh no, I'm in this for the whole, I want everybody to benefit, you know, when one person benefits, everybody benefits, you know, and I'm really, there's still this little back here somewhere going, now what do I get? How am I going to get? How's this going to serve me? And that's why, you know, we have this huge spiritual community or communities all over the world. What's the goal? For me to get enlightenment, me to get enlightenment. And that's likely why it's so rare, because me doesn't get enlightenment. And if I keep approaching enlightenment with that attitude, that's the surest way to stay away from it, to not become enlightened, whatever that means. You know, the pipe bomb that's ready to blow is ready to blow me wide open to emptiness, to blow up what I thought was helpful or what I needed. So anyway, cool song. Oh, and the other cool thing about the song is 24 frames, which I assume, I mean, I don't really do film, but I assume it's like Super 8, or I assume it's talking about 24 FPS. Jay knows, apparently, and which doesn't surprise me. Frames per second, yeah. Yeah, so it's talking about it. But, you know, it's like reinforces what we know to be true. This is a movie. This is a movie. It's all, as we were reading in Hebrews last night, it's all temporal. It's all passing. Even this spiritual stuff, you know, Holy Spirit told Regina directly in Hebrews, it said, you know, even this thing you're doing right now, meaning scribing NTI, it really has no meaning because it's temporal. It's passing. It's not what the truth is made of. All is now, Dawn says, the real message. I'm looking at what Jay wrote. He says 24 frames per second. That's a very old format. Dawn said, how many seconds would that translate to? And Jay says 1 second. In other words, it all burns up in 1 second. The holy instant, right? Yes, exactly, Dawn says. Yeah, so... Yeah, we're all excited. It's all burning up. Yeah. Okay. All right. So I think that's all I got to say about that. I wondered about that, Jay, when you said, and Jay says he still has my lighter. He said he gathered all our stuff up that fateful day a week ago when we were stranded. He's got my lighter. Good.
Tell him you don't need it anymore.
I don't need it anymore. Today's my last day of smoking. I finally got Shantex. It was easy. It was free. And I'm ready. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Really?
Shantex in the house. All right. So, although I had a note, I didn't read it carefully about bringing my journal down here. So I printed out what, so anyway, I might repeat stuff I've said before, blah, blah, blah. So I'm just going to start with the top of the page here and see where that takes us. It says here, the question I'm led to ask today is, what is it I am resisting and why? When I arise, I feel a general inclination to resist what is, what the day will be. And I remember, I don't know if Ann talked about this today. I remember last time I heard Ann talk last week, she was talking about that. What are y'all laughing about? What J-type? Oh, it's Dawn. Happy cheer dance. All right. No dancing, no dancing. I'm trying to teach here. Funny. Okay. So anyway, what we're talking about, or what I'm talking about in asking this question is, again, it's something that I heard Ann talk about a couple weeks ago, and something that used to always be present for me. And I know my experience is, having heard other people talk about it, it's present for them as well. And that is this this general anxiety that you get upon waking up. And I think I heard Regina talk about it, if not in person, a couple of weeks ago in a recording I was listening to, where you wake up, you go, oh God, another day. What's got to be done? What problems are ahead today? What have I got to deal with? And, you know, and then when we were at the Enlightenment Intensive, it just came in, and I think I spoke of this last night, it just came in so clearly. I actually saw the thinking mind do a scan. It was as if, you know, like if you're in an MRI machine and that light goes, zzz, you can see the light scan the body. I almost saw a light scan the body. I mean, it was just so obvious what was going on. And it wasn't me scanning. That was the kind of creepy part, right? It's like, oh, what is going on here? So I could see the scan of literally the body, and then we scanned a little bit further out in our surroundings, and then that expanded, you know, scan a little bit further out. What is here that I need to be worried about? What problems need to be solved? Let me take stock of this situation. That's the well, and we're going to talk about that more at the Freedom from the Judge retreat. But that's that whole conglomeration of thoughts that, you know, Regina was talking about it a while ago, this problem solver. That's what the thinking mind does. It looks for problems and then it solves them, or gives you ideas of how you might solve them. And all it is, it's a distraction. Because as she said, you solve these problems, then you're going to have these. In fact, we were over at Danielle's the other night watching the news, and there was a story on about expanding the fence line at baseball games because people keep getting hit. I mean, how long have we had baseball? How long have we had the, you know, I'm like, does it seem like they're manufacturing more and more problems? And they are. I mean, the thinking mind is. Yeah, and as soon as you solve one, another one gets fixed. Oh, wait. I said that wrong. As soon as you solve one, there's another problem to be solved. And they just, you know, somebody's churning out problems, and it's us collectively. Yeah. Jay says we'll all have to be induced into a coma state in case, so we don't stub our toe. Which reminds me, there's a cute little show on TV now. I watch it on Hulu every now and then. I like it because it's short and it's mindless. It's called The Kids Are All Right. It's about kids growing up in the 70s, and it's just funny. You know, they can drink out of garden hoses and stuff like that. They're blowing stuff up, and their dad's going, oh, good job, you know. How everything has just changed so much, and what didn't used to be a problem is now a problem. But that's just the nature of the nature of life, and that is one of the ways to really gain some distance from this thing, this collection of ideas that says it's us, the thinking mind, right? It's just notice that. Well, again, in my experience, particularly since I've really started going, what? And able to just gain that tiniest little bit of distance, it'll go, oh my God, here's a problem. Let's solve it right now. I got 10 things we could try. and so you do, and you just run through it, and you know, and it just, you just like the dog chasing after its tail. Or I heard Regina tell the other day in a recording the story of Little Black Sambo, where the tigers chased each other around a tree until they turned to butter. It's kind of like that, right? Really?
Great story. It was illegal most of my life.
Yeah, because people misinterpreted it. Yeah. But as you guys know, you may or may not know, a few weeks ago, I had a I am bad attack, and it was seemingly precipitated by things in the world, stuff I had messed up. But it was really precipitated, something, one of them words, by me turning my attention to, you know, the thinking mind. So I did something that wasn't done perfectly. Wasn't even done well, frankly. But and then it was obvious that I had, you know, messed it up. It became obvious that I had a number of opportunities not to mess it up. And so I'm like, oh, what? Oh, I messed that up? What should I do in the future? What can I do to fix it now? I mean, I just started listening again. It was like an invitation. Come on back into my life. Tell me what all my problems are. So I've been hearing it a little bit more, and particularly on this day. This was back around that same time, June 11th, that this is dated. So who knows, what chicken or the egg? Did I invite it back in and then have the I am bad attack? Anyway. Didn't matter. So we haven't gotten to halfway through this question. So let me go back and read the question to you. It says, the question I am led to ask today is, what is it I am resisting and why? When I arise, I feel a general inclination to resist what is, what the day will be. Here's a whole other issue. I realize that the boredom I seem to experience is merely a symptom of my resistance. What would you have me know about my resistance? That's interesting. I'm trying to get my mind back around the boredom that I was feeling. I think this was right after I came back from visiting family. Too. So there's some, oh, I want to be there. I want something to be different, right? And if it's not different, then I'm bored. actually, the boredom would come in support of the idea that I needed something to be different. And this is proof, you know? So it's just, yeah. See, here I live in Colorado. Regina's never here. She's always in La Vida. I don't live in La Vida. Regina's always there. Yeah, so it's just support for that idea that this is what's happening right now. It's not okay. Okay, so what would you have me know about my resistance? Fear. Resistance is merely fear. While you long for the depth of experience, which makes me want to cry. Now I'll talk about more that more in just a second. This is only two sentences here I need to read. While you long for the depth of experience, you believe that in order to experience its richness and depth, you must give up the control seemingly inherent in living in the known, within known parameters. So if y'all got that, you're way ahead of me because I didn't. You believe that in order to experience its richness and depth. Okay, I'm going to start the whole paragraph over. Fear. Resistance is merely fear. While you long for the depth of experience, you believe that in order to experience its richness and depth, you must give up the control seemingly inherent in living in the known, within known parameters. So I'm like, I'm all in, but it scares me to death because I don't have any control over it. And this depth of experience is really interesting because, you know, I think if you walked up to any course student and said, you know, what are we here for? They wouldn't say to experience, you know, to just get right in there. And I know that one of my earlier, one of my earlier journals was about getting in there and sucking the marrow out of the experience, right? Which even at the time seems a little, it's like, what? You know, aren't we supposed to be just meditating and not doing experience? But that's not what I'm getting. Helen commented on this a couple weeks ago, and I think that I did a gathering on it a while back about, you know, you are here, and NTI says it, you are here to experience the experience, so experience it. Don't keep pushing it away. Don't, you know, keep picking what you want to experience and what you don't, and only trying to do half of it. So, yeah, jump in both feet. And I will tell you that what it feels like, why this first part of the line, while you long for the depth of experience, seemed to bring tears to my eyes, is because it's an experience that I've been having lately. It's kind of like nostalgia. And it's not the first time that I've ever felt this. In fact, I've felt it many times. And one time I heard a song, you all may have even heard me mention it before. You may be familiar with the song, don't know who it is, a girl singer. But she talks about every now and then she thinks of this boy she used to date. And, you know, and she just gets all nostalgic for that time and how wonderful it was and to be with him. And then she goes, but wait a minute, it's not you I missed. It's not you I miss, it's me. It's that wide-eyed, innocent, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, so it's, so there's a, and really, for me, that really explains that feeling. It's like, so, and I had that this morning as I was driving to La Vita. And I kind of got the Holy Spirit slideshow that I get sometimes, although it wasn't as intense. It wasn't bam, bam, look at this picture, this picture, this picture. It was more like, oh, yeah, here was a time when I felt that way, and here was a time, and here was a time. And the way that I felt was this, just that interesting, just that unlimited potentiality, right? Which is interesting, because I wouldn't have described it that way at the time. You know, the abundance of life, you know, to just get out there and take a bite of it, right? Without limitation. And so what occurred to me driving this morning, was that that's the call. It's always been the call. While I thought it was the boys or the beer or the boonie riding or the, you know, swimming at the rock court, and, you know, on any of that. Yeah, she's a country girl. Again, just like the song, it's that wild-eyed innocence, right? It's the call. It's the call to find the truth of my soul. There's always been something calling me deeper. And that's still there. And I will say that Regina was talking this morning. We were having a Don, you meant, I'm teasing, because I'm going to talk about Bernadette Roberts. Yeah. she was saying that Bernadette Roberts was saying, what's kind of like we were talking about last night with Hebrews, about always stretching beyond your comfort zone. Always going beyond what you're comfortable with now, and that this is that without that you don't make progress on the spiritual path. You don't mature in this process, and so that call I sometimes confuse with boredom, with something needs to be different, with there's a problem here that needs to be fixed. It's helpful to recognize that yearning for exactly what it is, which is the call home, which is the call to, you know, you're almost there. I can touch my fingers, you know, just stretch a little bit more. And, you know, again, it's beautiful that we read that last night in Gentle Healing Year 1 in Hebrews, because it was so clear about, stretch, but be gentle with yourself. You know? Like, well, that wasn't stretching very far. You know, that sort of thing. That's not helpful. And so I can see the call to stretch, and I don't know what that means. I really don't know what that means. This is actually kind of just coming together for me as the words are coming out of my mouth. You know, and maybe I guess that I am stretching. You know, recent teachings that I've done for this other group, and getting that ready to do this retreat. I don't know. Is that it's stretching? But that's okay. I stretched. Now when do I have to stretch again, you know? But it's just really, really, really sweet. This and I recognized that this morning. It just really dawned on me. I'm like, there's some, it's kind of a sad sweetness, is this nostalgia thing. And I know before I've been hard on myself about having a sweetness for nostalgia. Doesn't make any sense. But anyway, I appreciate seeing it for what it is. The call home, the call to stretch. I have no idea what time it is.
It is 1:35.
Okay. All right, I'll stretch a little bit more. I'll talk some more. I'm going to drink here. Okay. So I asked next. I said, how is the desire for control or resistance, funny how those are equated, how is this desire for control or resistance, how are those relinquished? And again, I just want to spend just a second with that idea that the desire for control and resistance are the same thing. And that's the convoluted paragraph above it. That's exactly what it was talking about. How I want to stretch. I want to follow the guidance home. My resistance to doing that is merely fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear that I don't know what that looks like and I can't control it. So I ask, how do I let that go? How's this desire for control, resistance, relinquished? And then I wrote, when I ask that question, the loving all method springs to mind. Perhaps I do not understand that method, do not know how to do it, or resist doing it truly, fully. Inner wisdom says, practice loving the little things. Love the feel of your fingertips on the keyboard. Love the feel of the cigarette in your hands and the smoke in your lungs. What? Yeah, but that was then. That was on the 11th. But really, it's kind of cool that it says that because, you know, it's like, I can't love that stuff. I'm supposed to resist that stuff. That's what makes me bad, right? That's what makes me need fixing. And it's like, no. Really, love the feel of the cigarette in your hands and the smoke in your lungs. Love everything. Practice loving the things that are easy to love and then expand that practice. You love the things that are easy to love. You love the things that are easy to love by being intimate with them, not taking them for granted, but feeling the depth and the dimension of experiences. Interestingly, don't say that out loud, the ego says. Interestingly, and I think I told a couple of the folks around here, you know, I haven't thought about boys, men, for a long, long time. But lately, you know, my radar's been, ooh, there's a cute one, ooh, there's a cute one. And a lot of times in these nostalgic moments, what I'm nostalgic for is, again, you know, when you're starting a relationship, and it's just like, you just live and breathe this person, and oh my God, you get all caught up in that thing, right? Whatever it is, y'all have all been there, you know what it's like. That comes in too, in this experience of nostalgia, like the wish for that. And so when this talks about being intimate, it's like, again, I can see how it's that that same impulse for intimacy is the same call home. It's the same call home. And I don't need a boy or man to be intimate with. This is the intimacy that I can have with all things. In fact, there was a book I have on my Kindle, wherever it is, called Dating God. I can't remember who wrote the book, but they're talking about that very thing. You know, when you get in a relationship, you can't wait to talk to the person again, and all you think about is this person. That's the kind of devotion that's called for.
Sufism.
And yeah, house has Sufism. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, that deep love and devotion. And that's the call. That's really the call. It's like, you know, this is not just a 9-to-5 thing. Or on my meditation cushion thing. That's being all in. Developing the intimacy with everything. And really, it's the recognition of the intimacy with all things, right? You are everything. Hebrews told us that again last night. You are everything. Everything is you.
It's a good song.
It is a good song. And it's always cool. After I discovered that was in the Bible, I'm like, oh, that's where they got it. Whatever that group was. But yeah. So it's a recognition of the intimacy that already exists. And I got to tell you that I was so thrilled this past week with Gentle Healing Year One to revisit Elie Ruzdahl's open-eyed meditation. Because you really get, when you're doing that, the sense of intimacy is natural. It's no longer me looking at that thing over there. It's all one flow. Okay, let's look again. It says, pardon me, practice loving the things that are easy to love and then expand that practice. We're looking at how to do the loving all method. practice loving the things that are easy to love and then expand that practice. You love the things that are easy to love by being intimate with them, not taking them for granted, but feeling the depth and dimension of those experiences. And again, not taking them for granted. And it's like, that's what we do that's what I do. Focused on mind chatter. You know, it's like when Regina takes us for walks around here and reminds us that it's a silent walk, right? Because this is what we're doing. We're not taking things for granted. We are being intimate with our experience. Feeling the depth and the dimension of those experiences. So it's a shift in focus. What? Tell me what? Tell me what kind of flower that is? Right. Notice how it feels to be in communion. Notice how it feels to be in communion with easy to love experiences and how, in contrast, it feels to resist experience. it's funny. It's funny because you don't even have to think very long to know what that feels. I hate this. I don't want to do this job. Why is this so stupid? I don't want a contrast, right? It is not so much what the experience contains that is to be loved. It is the loving of it that contains the truth of being. And that harkens back to Spirit told me a long time ago that the means and the end are always the same. Hal was telling us a story this morning about practicing with one of the lessons in the last couple of weeks in Gentle Healing Year One about giving and receiving being the same. And it asked you first to give gratitude, you know, think of a person, give gratitude to that person. Give love to that person. What was the other one? You remember?
Peace of mind.
Extend peace of mind to that person. And then says, okay, now how do you feel? He's like, hey, I feel pretty good. And the lesson's like, that's just because you just gave that to yourself, right? Giving and receiving are the same. And that's why the means and the end are always the same. If I'm giving love, I'm getting love. If I'm giving peace of mind, I'm actually receiving peace of mind. If I'm giving gratitude, I'm actually receiving that gratitude. I'm feeling that gratitude. That's why giving and receiving are the same. And so it says here, it's not so much what the experience contains that is to be loved. I'm working on these books today, right? It's not about that. It's the loving of it that contains the truth of being. So if I'm loving working on the books today, if I'm loving smoking this cigarette, right? If I'm loving whatever's going on, that's what's flowing through me. And what flows through me is the truth of my being. Remember, we looked last time we met at, I asked what is truth, and Inner Wisdom said, let's look at this passage from 1 Corinthians 13 on love. That's truth. So it's not about loving the vase falling. It's about the loving of it. It's about the extension of the truth of my being so that I can have the experience of the truth of my being. Inner Wisdom says, once you begin to truly love that which is easy to love, transfer of that welcoming experience to other things becomes natural and easy. Resistance is actually that which takes effort. Open-hearted expectation is your natural state. And you all may recognize that phrase. That's my spiritual aspiration, to live in open-hearted expectation further. And that is, so that's shorthand for me, but it's shorthand for not placing meaning on anything, not making any comparisons, not making the experience about Jacqueline. Just occurred to me at the end of my spiritual aspiration, living in open-hearted expectation, further, which is kind of cool because this is what we talked about. This is what we started talking about was this stretch, you know, stretching, always stretching further. Yeah, so that really is the natural state, this spaciousness, this allowance, all the things 1 Corinthians 13 tells us love is, truth is, that's the natural state. Resisting what's going on, you know, besides being no fun, is work. And Inner Wisdom tells me, you will find this is true as you practice with this lesson in earnest, not merely paying lip service to the practice. Oh, yeah, I do that loving all thing all the time. but for me, sitting here sharing this with you guys, it really helps to get that, the juiciness of that, which is the sentence that says it's not so much what the experience contains that is to be loved. It is the loving of it that contains the truth of being. Let's see where we are. 10 minutes. What should we talk about for 10 minutes?
I just wanted to thank you for demonstrating that. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Cheryl.
It's one thing to just say it in your lip service of words. It's another to demonstrate. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I want to thank everybody because, I write this stuff down, I read it, and I'm like, that's cool. But until I have this experience of sharing it, I just can't hear it. I just don't hear it. So thank you. Thank you, all of you. All right. I read that to y'all last time. I'm going through that again. Just trying to figure out where I ought to be. Oh, here's the suck the marrow out of it. I read this to you last time, but let's look at it again for just a second. God being love is also happiness. I seek but what belongs to me in truth. Those were the lessons we were reviewing. God being love is also happiness. I seek but what belongs to me in truth. I said, what would you have me see in these lessons, Father? And the answer, God, the absolute, love and happiness are one. Because I am one with all that is, I am love and happiness. These qualities cannot be found because they have never been lost to me. To search for them is to pretend I am something other. Again, I got to say that for me, it's like I'm so glad that I read this again. Because this is exactly the point that was just being made, right? It's the extension of it. The means and the end are the same. It's the intimacy that allows me to extend the truth of my being. So to search for it is like just the opposite of that, right? It's to pretend to live in a vacuum of that, where that's absent, where the truth of my being is absent. To search for them is to pretend I am something other. My focus on my absolute nature is God's will for me, is perfect happiness, is love. I have felt in my heart the raw hunger for unconditional love, for unbound experience. I have reveled in it. I need not look outside myself. This love is inseparable from me. This gusto for life and the desire to suck the marrow out of it, that impulse is me. That energy is me. I rejoice in the discovery of myself once again, and boy, do I. And then I asked, this ought to put a cap on it. Big yes to the gusto, Don says. The next day I asked, what would you have me know about this heaviness? So apparently I'd awoken with that heaviness again. What would you have me know about this heaviness that seems to descend? You are correct. It is not you. It is that which keeps you from reveling in your being as described above. And for me, it's, really, really clear that it's, I think the journal entry that led into this, or maybe that comes after, is focus. It's about focus. So that's the point here. It's really about focus. What am I listening to? And I mean, it's just like the Course always told us, which voice are you listening to, right? Or am I focusing on the absence of what I am, or am I extending what I am and thereby shifting my focus to the truth of my being? The heaviness is that which keeps you from reveling in your being as described above. What is wrong in this moment? Nothing. Wake up. What is wrong in this moment? Nothing. All is well. That is forgiveness. That is the truth of your being. What has been done has no effect on what is happening in this moment. All is well. Try to feel the truth of that. All is well. You need not be or do, this must be when I messed that thing up. You need not be or do something correctly to earn your keep. Your being is all that is required.
Reminds me of the lesson in the course, I need do nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. And we set about trying to do it. Right. How do I do nothing? Explain that one to me, right?
Yeah, something to do nothing.
Yeah, and I actually hear Gangaji talk about that. We said Papaji said just stop, and she's like, okay, how do I do that? It's all frankly the same message, although it gets I think misinterpreted.
Train.
Pardon me.
Squirrel.
Thank you. Yeah. And that's definitely the one that I read to you guys last time. All right, so let's finish up. I'm going to read you this little paragraph on focus. You've heard it before, but now that we've actually heard the background for it, let's see where it takes us in the 2 seconds we have left. Where would you have me focus today? Focus is indeed the issue. Your focus determines where you believe yourself to reside. Yeah, again, perfect for what we've just read. Am I living in the lack, in the I don't know who I am, or am I extending that and knowing? Your focus determines where you believe yourself to reside. Is this an inner or an outer focus? Are you focused on accomplishing, on finishing, solving the problems, right? On keeping your commitments? Are you able to focus on the perfection of being? Are you able to focus on your heart? Of course I'm able. This focus is a soft one with no goal or direction. This focus is in itself pure openness without expectation. In order to maintain this focus, you must ask, what would you have me do, see, hear, now? The empty shell, right? Regina led us in with. Mind you, this is not a doing. Not a question that is asked as a mantra, but rather an attentiveness to what is naturally unfolding. It entails a willingness to allow anything or nothing to unfold. I can't have an idea of what the problem is. What the problem is, or even that there is a problem, right? Rest within the assuredness that your willingness to give up your thoughts of knowing or practices or processes is the emptiness that allows for true understanding. So I know how to do this. I know how to love what is. Well, ask and see if you know. The thinking mind cannot anticipate our next steps. Our steps are really just a stroll rather than the big bounding, leaping steps of ego focused on a goal. Our steps will meander through the garden as we contemplate spaciousness, acceptance, and trust that we need not manipulate anything. In this lack of desire to manipulate, to go, to accomplish, in this lack of desire to do that, we rest in stillness that needs nothing added unto it for the experience of peace and aliveness. This stillness is peace and aliveness. You are that. Focus here. Focus here. You are that. And notice the contrast with this mode of being and the experience you have when you're trying to get somewhere or achieve something. These are the first steps in letting such notions go and in experiencing the truth of the mode of being that which you are. Okay. Thanks, guys.